Hey, everybody. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms and all those motherly figures in our lives. We celebrate you today. And today we want to do a special one-off message focusing on Mother's Day. I believe that there's a word from God for each and every one of us on this day. So if you have your Bibles, would you open them up or turn them on to John chapter number 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 11. Read this full story. But if you don't have your Bible with you, please follow along on the side screens. I'll be reading from the ESV version of the text. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, I feel my mother on my shoulder already. I'm getting nervous. I'm sorry. Hey, Ma. Happy Mother's Day. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine, top shelf." Y'all don't know nothing about it. Everyone serves the good wine first. And when people have drunk freely, please apologize. I apologize for my interpretation of the text. Then the poor wine, the yellowtail, comes out. But you have kept the good wine until now. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did in Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Today I want to preach, Mother Knows Best. Holy Spirit, would you come? Fall fresh on us. Renew a right spirit in each of us. God, those things in our heart that are going contrary to you, I pray this message would help to shift us back in line with you. God, for every woman in this room, would you bless her to feel valued and seen? Would you bless her to have a wonderful experience with you on this day? Prop her up. Give her what she stands in need of. Pour into her. And for the rest of us, God, would you inspire us to follow in your footsteps? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I recount my childhood preparing for this message, thinking about my mama back home in Baltimore, thinking back on my childhood, and I'm thinking about all the tasks that my mama instructed me to complete that I did reluctantly. You ever been instructed by your mama to do something, and you're like, oh, right? You better not do that, oh, too late, too, you know, in her presence. I grew up in the 80s. I mean, that was a different time. Some of y'all grew up before then, so you know it could be some, yeah, some hands being laid upon you. And I ain't talking about prayer. So as I think about my childhood and think about some of the things that my mama instructed me to do, I think about how she told me to clean my room. I think about how she told me to make my bed. I think about how she told me to cut the grass and cut the lawn and keep the lawn up, to cut the bushes. I think about how she taught me how to do the laundry and help her out around the house. I think about all of these things that she told me to do. I remember how she taught me to look out for the elderly around me and my family and my neighborhood. And some of these things I did reluctantly. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm trying to play Nintendo. But she taught me to do these things. And now, as I've grown older, I now appreciate those things, that those tasks that my mother gave me to do, because they helped to develop me into the man I am today. She is the one who is credited for helping to mold me and shape me into a gentleman. It is my mother who gets the credit for pouring Jesus into me and introducing me to my Lord and Savior. It is my mother who's the reason why I stand before you today. It is my mother who invested her time in me. But you know, many of us don't realize the value of those women in our lives until we actually reach our destiny. Because when we reach our destiny, then we can look back and see how far we've come. Hopefully, we can appreciate those who led us along the way on that path. It's not until often we reach our destiny and we achieve our goal that we can look down to see all of the shoulders that we're standing on. Yeah, you didn't make it here on your own. You didn't put in all the work by yourself. You didn't pull yourself up by your own bootstrap. Stop lying to yourself. You stand on the shoulders of queens. Queens who prop you up. Queens who have lifted you up. Queens who have invested in you. Queens who have given up their joy to pour into your joy. I stand on the shoulder of queens. And such is the story we see in today's scripture. There's a wedding going on. The wedding is taking place, the text tells us, on the third day. Don't read that too quickly. You see, sometimes we read the Bible, we want to get to the meat, right? I want to always get to the meat. I want to get to the part where Jesus turned this water into wine. Okay? When are you going to talk about that part? That's the part, because I want some of that wine. They said it was the best stuff in town. Don't read anything in the scripture too fast, because God doesn't waste words. Every phrase in the scriptures is valuable for our edification. On the third day, this four-word phrase is given to us by the Apostle John, who pens this passage, and it is valuable for us to pause right there for a second. Because on the third day, what is that? Is that Tuesday? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday? Is it the third day after the events that happened in chapter number one? Because in chapter number one, at the end of that verse, at the end of that chapter, it tells us that Jesus meets Nathanael, and he calls Nathanael to be his disciple, to follow him. Is it 3 days after that? What is this 3 days, Jesus? Or is it something more significant to supplement our understanding? Dr. Karen Jobes, professor emerita of New Testament Greek and exegesis at Wheaton College, says, on the third day, that phrase is a popular phrase throughout the Old and New Testaments. And it generally refers to a day of deliverance. Watch me now. Let's take a trip down memory lane. Let's look at the prophet Hosea, chapter number 6, verse number 2. Hosea gives us a message of hope. In verse number 2, he says, on the third day, he, God, will raise us up that we may live before him. Esther, chapter 5, verse number 1, it says that on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and she went and stood in the court before the king, and she went before the king to achieve deliverance for her people. Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 40, Jesus himself makes reference to Jonah's deliverance as similar to his own. He makes a comparison. He says, for as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Deliverance. Might this story of Jesus changing water into wine be more than a good time? Might this story be more than just a great party that Jesus wanted to show up to with the best of alcohols? Might this story be more than a story about an open bar? Maybe Jesus is inviting us to put on some new glasses and view this event through the lenses of deliverance. Maybe you came here today needing deliverance from something. And maybe you're being bound by something in your life right now. Maybe there is something that is holding you back that you won't even tell anybody about. Maybe you're just stuffing it down and you're hoping that it'll never rear its ugly head in your life. But all of us have something that is holding us back. There's a real enemy out here trying to hold us down. And if we're not honest with those areas in our lives that are in darkness, if we're not honest with those areas in our lives that we're being held back and being smushed down and being kicked back, then we can never get delivered from those areas. What do you need deliverance from today? Jesus and his disciples are invited to a wedding. Jesus and the disciples are invited to a wedding. Who else is invited to the wedding? Mary is invited to the wedding. Jesus, the disciples, Mary, there's some other folks there. But you see who doesn't get an invitation? Who? Where's Joseph? I mean, he's part of the family, right? Joseph, who married Mary, the legal dad of Jesus, not the actual father of Jesus. Why didn't Joseph get an invitation? Was he just left out? Was Joseph out working that day? He needed to make ends meet, so he's doing a few extra chairs. You know, he's a carpenter. He's got to build a few extra things. You know, I got to keep the house going. The bills paid. Or as many scholars and theologians say, Joseph is probably dead by now. He's resting with the ancestors. Where's Joseph? He's not at the party. But one thing that we need to observe from all of that I just said is that on this Mother's Day, at some point in time, we identify and we understand that Mary is the one who is holding things together in her home. Mary is the one who's holding things down on her own. So I want to take a moment to shout out all of those ladies, all of those mothers, all of those women in the house who have had to put in double duty. Those women in the house who have had to hold the family down and hold the family together because your partner was out working, or your partner was out playing golf, or your partner was out hanging with the boys, or your partner just wasn't in the picture. I want to shout out all of the women who have had to pinch pennies and had to make a way out of no way, who fed us meals when they couldn't afford to eat themselves, who put clothes on our backs when they couldn't afford clothes for themselves, who put us through college and paid our tuition when they couldn't even get themselves together. I want to shout out those women. I want to shout out those women who put our dreams ahead of their dreams, who made room for us when they were restricted. I want to shout out those women who put up their resources and their finances and that we just wasted and ran off on. I want to shout out those women who endured all of our missteps and mistakes. I want to shout out all of those women and celebrate all of those mothers who insisted that my child will succeed, my child will thrive, no matter the environment that I have to raise them in, no matter the apartment or place where they currently are. They will not be a product of this environment. My child will succeed. No matter what the teacher said, no matter the negativity around them, my child will survive. Shout out all these mothers. I want to celebrate every type of mother who's held us down and lifted us up. Mary reminds us that there are some women who have invested in us that we need to remember and celebrate, not just on Mother's Day, but every day of our lives. These women who are special to us, these women who built us up, these women who continue to invest in us. Like Dr. Otis Moss III would say, I want to take a moment to praise God. Praise God for all the kinds of women in our lives. I want to praise God today for all biological mothers. I want to praise God today for all foster mothers. I want to praise God today for all adopting mothers, grandmothers, stepmothers, women who chose to give up their child to another family so that child can have a better life, sacrificial mothers. To those who have lost a child or have never been able to conceive, I want to tell you today, we mourn with you. To every woman who is resolved not to have children, to serve as an extended auntie or big sister, we appreciate you. To every woman who wanted to conceive, but life just didn't work out that way, we acknowledge you. To every mother who's had a great relationship with their children, we love you. To those who have had a difficult relationship with their children, we see you. To those who have differently abled children, we stand with you. To those who have children who have made poor decisions, we support you. To those who have had a difficult day today because your mother is no longer with you, we mourn with you. In all of its complexity, in all of its challenges, and in all of its celebration, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to every one of you today. We see you, we acknowledge you, we love you. We thank you for all you've done for every one of us. There's a magnificent mother in this passage named Mary. And she's mindful. She notices that the wine has run out. Now, I don't know how she found out that the wine is to run out. I mean, it doesn't tell us, you know. Was her glass empty or I don't know. You see, 9 o'clock, they didn't like that joke. They just say silent. People think Mary holier than thou. She can't have a glass of wine. Mary can have a glass of wine, and so can you. You know, we suffer from this disease called Christian seriousness. Christians want to be holier than thou, like you ain't sneaking Hennessy at the end of the night. Stop fronting. I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to go to, that's not even in my notes. Let me get back before I get in trouble. Sorry, mama. Come on now. It's your day. It's your day. The Greek word for to run out is hysterio. It means inferior or not sufficient. Why would Mary be concerned about this problem at this time? It's not her wedding. Why would Mary notice? Why does she consider this her business to get involved in? You don't want to know why? Because she's a mother. She's a mother, and mothers are concerned not just with their children, but with the welfare of those around her children. In this culture, the groom's family would have paid for the wedding celebration. That was the tradition. And so if the accommodations were insufficient, that would bring great embarrassment to the parents. That would not just bring embarrassment to the parents, that would bring shame to the family. See, this is not like American culture. This ancient culture, right, is a society that is governed by strict notions of shame and honor. And it would have been a disaster to run out of wine. Running out of wine would have brought shame and dishonor upon the whole family. But Mary cares enough about this family's reputation that she steps in. I know some of y'all are like, what does this have to do with me? I got plenty of wine at home. Y'all see my basement, you know what I'm saying? Nice, cool space. I believe that the Holy Spirit is leading me to ask you a question, one question today. And I believe that this question is for everyone in here, not just the mothers, but every single one of us. I believe that this question is relevant to you, and it's given by God. And this question comes from Mary's unique perspective. She helps us to understand something here. What will you do when the wine runs out in your life? What will you do when the wine runs out in your life? You see, they're at a party, and some of us know when the liquor is gone, turn the music off because the party is over. What you gonna do? You gonna make a run to the store? No, most of us gonna catch an Uber to go to the after party. Where is the next party. But what will you do when the wine runs out in your life? First of all, what does that mean to you? What does wine represent in your life? What do you do when what was good to you at one point has now become an annoyance? What do you do when that in which was sweet to you at first becomes bitter to the taste? What do you do when your joy starts to run out, when that in which brought you joy now brings you stress and discomfort? What do you do when that relationship loses its fire? What do you do when your kids go in a different direction than how you reared them? What do you do when your resources run thin? What do you do when your faith doesn't feel the same? What do you do when you have questions about this thing called Christianity that nobody seems to be answering or addressing? What do you do when your parents' political faith now no longer fits you? Because you see the world through different lenses. What will you do when your wine runs out? Ladies and gentlemen, I have this to say to you. I think that you all need to know that your wine will eventually run out. That wine will eventually run out. There will be a time in your life where the vats will run dry. There will be a time in your life where your faith is challenged. There will be a time in your life where that wine will eventually run out, no matter how long the party is, no matter how good the party is, there will be a time when the bottle is empty, when your happiness will wane, where your joy becomes bitter. Jesus did not cause the wine to run out, but Jesus will allow the wine to run out. Jesus will allow the wine to run out so that you can realize who the source is. He will allow the wine to run out in your life so that you can turn your attention to Him. And say, God, you are my source, not just a resource. So what do we learn from Mary? Mary teaches us three things about what we should do, steps we should take when the wine runs out. And step number one, surrender. Oh, it got quiet. We don't like that word. I don't care how Christian you are. Surrender. I'm not surrendering to nobody. Mary surrenders her will for God's will. She notices that there's a problem too big for her to resolve on her own. She sees that there is a real challenge. She can't carry that many bottles back from the store. And she gives up her will, or watch this, her need to control the situation. I'm talking to somebody in here today. That's why you're quiet. Who am I talking to? Listen, who in here needs to control every situation? Who in here needs to be the boss of everybody and everything? Who in here always has to get their way? I'm not asking you to raise your hand and tell on yourself, but God bless you. Listen, sometimes we need to relinquish our will for God's will. Because God has a greater plan in place that it won't even work out until we get out of the way. We're preventing the hand of God in our lives often. Because my will needs to be done and not his. Many of us, we just don't like that word surrender because it means we're giving something up. I got to give something up. You know why we get stressed out when we talk about giving something up? Because we don't have the faith that God can refill. That's why we're so stingy with money and we cuss and fuss at churches that ask you to give tithes like God asks you to give. That's why we fuss and cuss about giving away anything, right? God just nudged me and told me to give away this old car I got in my garage. No, but I might need that one day. You ain't using it. Help somebody else because God will refill you with something better than you ever imagined. So you get four claps on that one. So we got to learn to trust God. God loves it when his children surrender because that shows that we trust him. It shows that we trust that he will refill the gaps, that he will not only refill the gaps, but he will give us something better than we ever imagined. Good wine, it says. The best wine was at the end of the party, not at the beginning. What is it that you've been holding on to? What is it that you refuse to surrender to God? What is it that you've been holding close to your chest? What room in your house do you keep the door locked? And you say, God, you can have access to this whole house. But this room right here, that's where I keep my, that's where I hold on to my, that's where I do my. What is it in your life that you refuse to say, God, I give it to you and I bow before you humbly? Is it your will? Is it your way? Is it that habit you have or the lifestyle or an addiction or your attitude? What is it that you are holding on to that God is saying, just give it to me because I got something better for you? God never asks us to surrender a thing that he hasn't already made plans to bless us with something that's better. To paraphrase Jackie Hill Perry, she says, if you believe God is everything, you will give him anything because you know he has better wine on the way. Second point we learn from Mary here is not only do we need to surrender, but we need to pray. We need to pray more. Watch this. Mary went to Jesus to have a little talk. And that's all prayer is. It's a very little talk. They have no wine. What? It's a very short talk. Prayer is a relational communication with Jesus. Doesn't have to be long at all. Oh, Lord, would you please, Jesus? It don't have to be that. Now, if that's your way of praying, I'm not dissing you. I mean, go on, do what you got to do. But if you just say, help me, Jesus, that's a good prayer. Let me tell you something. Sometimes I can't say nothing but Jesus, Jesus. I'm driving that out. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's all I can say is Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit, it said, will translate what you can't say to the Father. And he will make it clear for you. Mary has this little talk with Jesus, but watch this. Mary doesn't clear it with the family first. She didn't go to the family and say, listen, I know y'all about to be embarrassed. I know y'all about to run out of wine. Would you mind if I tell my son? No, she finds a problem, finds a challenge in somebody else's life and becomes an intercessor on their behalf. We need more intercessors in our church, more people who will stand in the gap and see the problems and the challenges and take them right to Jesus, not to social media, not to your friend, not to them girls over there, not to them boys over there, not to your neighborhood, but you just take it to Jesus and let him handle it. We need more intercessors in our community. We need more intercessors in our church. We need more intercessors in our city. We need more intercessors in this country. Stop thinking these politicians gonna fix something. All of them terrible. And I don't mind saying that. All of them trash. Kendrick and Drake need to write a song about them. Trash. I'll help them write it. I'll be a ghostwriter. Let me get back on track because I'm about to run out of time. All right. We need more intercessors in our life. We need to pray. Amen. Here's a homework assignment real quick. Listen, before you leave here today, be an intercessor. Walk up to somebody. Just ask them, how can I be praying for you this week? And if you're really bold, ask them, can I pray for you right now? That's the most vineyard thing you can do. To pray for somebody right now because we believe in experiencing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit right now. Not when I get home, not when I get on my knees next to my bed, now I lay me down to sleep. No, Holy Spirit, come and make an impact right now. That's what we believe, experiencing and worshiping God, one of our values. Let us not neglect that. Finally, Mary says this. We need to, oh, it's another word y'all don't like. Go ahead, put it up on the screen. Give me Christmas. This is a hard one, Mary. Obey. We need to obey. Look at verse number 4. It says, Jesus says, woman, I feel my mother breathing on my shoulder. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. Now watch what Mary does. She ignores Jesus. Every parent in here knows what I'm about to say, that sometimes you got to ignore that child's smart mouth to keep yourself out of jail. Sometimes you got to just turn your back and breathe for a minute. Go to your room and close the door. Talk to Jesus. Well, not in this case. It was Jesus. But Jesus says, this doesn't have anything to do with me. Why are you bringing me into this? And she turns and looks at the servants and says, why? Do whatever he tells you. She puts the servants and Jesus in check. She tells the servant, follow his lead. And what does Jesus do? He obeys. Jesus obeys his mama because you know what? Your mama knows what's best for you. Your mama raised you. Your mama cleaned you up. Your mama wiped your butt. Your mama know you. Know your best food. Know what you're allergic to. Know what you like and what you dislike. Know how you sneaking around and how you not sneaking. You think your mama don't know? Your mama know all that. She got special, like, senses. I don't know. I just know women got this special 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 senses that God gave them. I can barely smell nothing. My wife come in and be like, you smell that? Look, whenever I go to Five Guys, I be trying to sneak Five Guys, right? I be in the car, I eat the Five Guys fries. And then they in the car, I roll the windows down, you know what I'm saying? Let the air blow. All I do, I walk in the house. As soon as I walk in the house, you're like, you been to Five Guys. You're 20 feet away from me. All right, let me keep going. We need to obey. Jesus obeys his mother, and watch this. The servants obey Jesus' instruction, and they fill the jars with water. Notice this. It was not until the resources were depleted and the servants were obedient that Jesus did the miraculous. Have you done all you can to improve your situation? Or are you waiting for Jesus to do it all? God will always meet us on the road to your destiny. So make every effort that you can. Do what you can do and leave the miraculous part up to God. Go back to school and get that degree so that you can be used by God to further your career. Go back and read that book to sharpen your knowledge and sharpen your skills so you can have an intelligent conversation. Go back to the gym and get yourself in shape and get your health together so you can live. Do what you can do. Show up. Put in your effort. I'm not going to say that. Don't wait for someone to give you a glass of wine. Pour some water in the glass for yourself. Start using what's right around you. He said, fill the jars with water. You do your part and watch me do the rest. Verse number 6, it says this. This is my close. I'm going to say this. There were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Now that's, do the quick math, that's 120 to 180 gallons of water that Jesus turned into wine. 180 gallons? I don't know how much wine you could drink at a party, but a gallon is excessive. Half a gallon is... I mean, a glass or two, Jesus. 180 gallons? Jesus is saying, when you surrender to me, when you pray, when you take this relational communication seriously, when you obey me, I am able to do exceedingly and abundantly, immeasurably above everything that you could ever imagine or ask or think. By my power, I can give it all to you. See, that's a whole lot of water turning into wine. A whole lot of water becoming wine. A whole lot of water becoming wine. That's a story for your life today. Take that home with you. Because you are in a process of becoming. There's nobody here who has reached their destiny yet. There's nobody here who's reached their highest height yet. God is not done with you yet, so don't give up on yourself right yet. Don't give up on God right now, because he's got more to change you into. He's putting his hand on your water. He's transforming you into something better. But you got to believe it. You got to invite him in, and you got to let him do his work. Listen, God will feed the 5,000, but you got to bring him 2 fish and 5 loaves. God will heal your lame friend, but you got to tear the roof off and lower him in. God will meet you on your road to Emmaus, but you need to get to start walking. God will let you walk on top of your storms, but you got to keep your focus on him. He will turn your water situation into something much better. Invite him into it, though. So what step is God asking you to take? What next step has the Holy Spirit put on your heart right now? What is it that you need to do? What is your fish and 5 loaves? What part is he inviting you to play in your own miracle? Worship team, y'all can come on up here. I'll close with this while they're coming. I was curious while I was preparing this message, how much water is actually in wine? And so I found this website, Vivino.com, that had this graphic that explained water and wine, right? Every bottle of wine, no matter what it is, no matter if it's Screaming Eagle or Thunderbird. Y'all don't know about that Thunderbird. $4.99 a bottle. Y'all ain't from the hood. Somebody know Thunderbird. All right. No matter if it's top shelf or bottom shelf, it's got 85% water in the bottle. Y'all missing your shout point. It's got 85% water in the wine. It's got the majority of it is water. You know what that tells me? That every glass of water has the potential to become something special. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what the color is. It doesn't matter what it smells like. It doesn't matter what it tastes like. It doesn't matter what it is right now. When God puts his hand on it, he will transform that water into wine. What's the challenge that you're facing in your life right now? What's the problem that you're facing in your life right now? Are you willing to surrender it to God? Are you willing to talk to him about it? Are you willing to obey what he's already said in his word and follow him? Because if you do, he said, I will give you above what you can even imagine. The best wine he saved for last. So listen, maybe you're here today and you're ready to give up. Because things have gotten hard in your life, maybe financially, maybe relationally. Maybe you're having a hard time in school and the semester's almost over. You don't know if you're going to graduate. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I want to encourage you to hold on just a little while longer. Don't give up hope. Because God is in the business of transforming things. He's in the business of turning dead things into life. He's in the business of transforming water into wine. He's in the business of turning your midnight into day. He's in the business of turning things around 180 degrees. So listen, don't give up on that spouse yet. Don't give up on that child yet. Don't give up. Unless God tells you to give up on that job, don't give up on that job. He might have wine hidden in that thing. It may look like 80% water, but it's wine in there. Jesus can turn your family matters into good times. Jesus can turn your depression into euphoria. Jesus can, he can redeem any of your enemies who are not like us. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Jesus has the power to transform anyone, anything, at any time, any place, any way, anyhow, and it might not come the way you expected it. Water to wine. Will you stand with me? As we close out in worship, I'm going to invite you to pray. I'm going to invite worship team's already up here, the prayer team, to come up now. Because as we pray, as we worship, I want to open the door so you can pray. Because maybe you're here and you're that person who's at the end of your rope. You're like, you know what? I'm moving toward divorce. And there's nothing that can stop me. Because I don't see any value or any fire left in this relationship. I think Jesus wants you to slow down for a minute to recognize the water or the wine that's in that water. Maybe you're here today and your health is failing. And you don't know what to do. You're ready to just give up. Jesus said, there's wine in that water. Let me lay my hands on it. Maybe your child is just acting out. Maybe they're making poor decisions. And you don't understand what to do. You don't understand the next step to take. And you're looking to take drastic measures. There's wine in that water. Let him give you wisdom. So as we worship today, whatever you have going on in your life, whatever is challenging you, whatever is trying you, whatever is holding you down, God is the God of deliverance. And he can bring the best, even in the final moments. Let's worship together.